Okay, as I'm going to repeat myself because I'm making a recording of this and I'd like it. Then an Asian master said that the first step in training is generosity, then morality, and then meditation. While in America, people first want to meditate and really kind of get some wisdom. Then they'll think about doing good, morality, and then they'll consider being generous. And you don't think of most people who, when they come to practice Buddhism, the first thing they're thinking about is, wow, I should really work at being generous. And the generosity I'm talking about isn't just generosity with money. That's one aspect, but generosity in whatever we do, what they would call generosity of spirit. And you can have it in a relationship. Often when people are having trouble, it's like, are they actually looking, being generous to the other person in the relationship? Like, instead of thinking, what can I get? Which the thing is, what can I give? How can I help this being, whatever it is? You know, and that's true about your coworkers, your whoever you're interacting with life. We often think of it in the self-absorbed angle rather than thinking about, okay, how can I be helpful here? And I know this was true of me. I f didn't first come into Buddhism thinking, oh, let me work on generosity. That didn't occur to me. In fact, even morality didn't, you know, being good didn't initially be something, oh, I'm coming to Buddhism so I can learn to be good. Nah. I wanted wisdom. I wanted to be enlightened. I wanted to experience all these nice things you read about in Zen books. I was reading somebody, it was wrote that most Westerners want to cross to the other shore, the classic Buddhist theme of freeing ourselves and being enlightened. But without generosity, this clinging means the boat is tied to the dock, and nothing will change unless you stop holding on to the self. It's like an example of what I'm talking about is enlightenment in Buddhism means you've let go of the self. You know, you're not clinging to what happens to you, all those aspects. So, and one of the ways we learn not to cling is by, we cling is if we're not having generosity, obviously we're clinging. You know, the opposite of generosity is selfishness. It's like, I want to be the selfless person, but I don't want to behave selflessly. I want to just get it by having an insight into that I'm not important. And then I'll consider it rather than the grounding, which is normal practices. You know, you learn to give, and the giving actually feels good. And it's a way of not being so self-absorbed, not being so concerned with what do I have? Whereas somebody else I was reading said, me first means me last to nirvana. And actually, the Buddha started his first thing when he taught was teaching generosity. Dana is the word they use, the giving. Because giving actually liberates us, it makes us less selfish. It's a way of, and all you have to do is think, instead of viewing your training as what can I get, think of your training as what can I give. And that'll help you much more than what I can get. Just like often people are doing well spiritually, I'll meet who don't even realize it because they're just incredibly kind, giving people. And although they don't even realize they're being spiritual and freeing themselves, actually they are. They're just doing it without even realizing this is the practice because they've made that aspect of life central. And, you know, they don't call themselves, you know, it doesn't mean, because in a way, that's what will help us. Buddha, kind of a quote of the Buddha, no true spiritual life is possible without a generous heart. And lack of generosity comes out of fear and greed. All you have to do is think when you think of giving something and you suddenly get a feeling, but I may need it. Or what can I get out of it? And you can see it in relationship where you just think of the relationship with someone else in terms of what can I get out of it. I mean, I've counseled people on marriage problems, and it's like, often it's because all they're talking about is what can I get out of the marriage? Very hard to have the other person who's just serving you. And the giving isn't just stuff. It's an offering of compassion, of faith, of equanimity, of kindness. You know, it's always like the quote I like of the Dalai Lama when they asked him, where he said, "My religion is kindness." And the kindness is something you give. And every action we do, often people don't understand karma, that whatever we're doing is having a consequence. So each act of selfishness has a consequence, where you're solidifying something. And each act where we're actually just being willing to think of others and give helps us let go of an aspect of the self. Just think of somebody who is just generous, and think of how much better it can be often to feel when you give than when you get. I honestly know that often when I get given stuff, often it doesn't even make me feel good. It almost makes, I often feel, do I really need that? You know, all these other aspects of, it's like I'm, my sister even complains, you're really hard to give stuff to. Because often whatever she gives me, I don't really need, you know what I mean? It's not like, my needs aren't the normal needs. It's like most stuff actually doesn't work for me. And often she doesn't think of, you know, and often she's not thinking of actually, of trying to figure out what actually do I need, because it's just hard for her to picture what I need. Well, usually I just give her food, because I always figure, I don't know what she needs. She's affluent and has stuff, and it's hard to figure out, but I know she'll eat, you know, and so I can send her nice food. But through generosity, we kind of create a life of wholeness in the tone of our life, because in a way it's confronting that selfishness that gets in the way. And it also frees us to see that there's good there, where we're not just focusing on how we are doing. You know, and I was reading somebody who was a Buddhist monk that, you know, where he's talking about the willingness to give, share, be present, to help, kind of takes us away from just talking about me and my needs. Like, how am I doing? And I have a quote from Ajahn Sumedho, who's Ajahn Chah's main Western disciple. He goes, "Whenever I think of myself, I feel depressed." The perspective changes whenever I think, what can I give? And because if I just look at myself, there's always things not going. It's not like there's ever this perfection we would all like to have. And it's nothing wrong with that, but it's just like where it's not the focus on. Just like the focus on, if the focus on Buddhist training is how you're doing, you won't be doing well. The focus on training has to be on what you're doing. It's almost like if you're doing a job, you don't focus on how you're doing on the job. You focus on the job and don't spend that much time thinking about how am I doing? You know, it's like I used to do construction work. You don't think about how you're doing. You just think, I got this done. I got this done. Why? This room's almost completed. The sheetrock now is done. This is done. How you're doing the job isn't the critical thing. Wow, I got this done quickly, poor. You know, it's just like, I got it done. I'm cut. Next thing, got it done. And you say, well, how does that apply to training? Well, you deal with what's there, you know, instead of thinking, how am I doing this concrete? Well, what are you doing? If there's concrete things you're doing, and how are you doing with them? You know, it's like, not like, how do I stop being less greedy, but dealing with the greed? That's concrete. You can eat less, for instance, or I could eat less chocolate. I could eat healthy, or whatever it is that you want to work on, or whatever is the greed, or I'm being lazy in this way. Instead of thinking, how do I stop being a lazy person? Well, what needs to be done? And there's always things you're lazy with. I've never known anyone who's good with everything, but you can make a priority of the things like, you know, I try not to be lazy with the stuff that matters to me. And it's part of it is that the wrong focus is often the reason, like with Westerners, where somebody said, kind of looked at a bunch of Westerners practicing, and he says, they're very serious, but they're also often grim and don't look like they're enjoying themselves. Because they're so, you know, oh, I have to, you have this serious aspect of, and there's something serious about it, but also there's a lightness. The seriousness comes from getting caught up in yourself. The lightness comes from the fact that you're not getting caught up and you're just, okay, here I am. What am I doing? And there's a lightness in that, that you can concentrate on, that it's whatever the task is, you're doing it, you're with somebody, and you just try to do good there and just try to be there and try to relate to them. And the generosity, the giving, the sharing allows you to connect to things that frees you. Well, when you're not connected, and all you think, the thing that stops you from being connected is being self-absorbed, being selfish. You know, just like I've had people come to the Priory who kind of tell me, oh, they don't, like, they've been practicing it for a while, but they don't connect to others here at the Priory. And I'll kind of ask them, well, I say, are you actually interested in others? Do you? And the person goes, well, you know, like, really, they're not showing that much interest in others. I go, well, it's not surprising that you don't connect to them if you don't try to connect, you know, if you're not showing, in a way, generosity of spirit where you're interested in them. Okay. And you share with them, you know, instead of thinking what you're doing, offering them something, like they ask you how you're doing and you say something rather than feeling like, oh, that's, it's like somebody, I remember getting really annoyed that the monk at the temple was always asking him how, every day, how's he doing? And he found it really irritating. And I say, why is it a problem for you to tell him how you're doing? He said, well, I'm not doing anything. You mean nothing ever happens in your life? You know, he said, well, it's not important. I guarantee it's important to you. And if you share it, it can be important to someone else. And then the monk actually couldn't understand why he's getting annoyed at the question. And I just thought, well, probably you realize he doesn't want to answer you. Rather than thinking this is a reasonable thing to be friendly with, he had to be aware with generosity of spirit that actually sometimes people don't want to say how they're doing. You know, they find it annoying. Again, I read a Buddhist monk talking about West people, particularly in the West. They don't really know how to practice dana, generosity. They know how to meditate, but they don't know how to focus on generosity. And he was saying he could see a direct relationship between the lack of joy and happiness and the lack of foundation in generosity, in giving, in sharing. Because that's what connects us with others. And that's what allows us to be less selfish. Just like in the East, somebody was in Thailand and he said, one of these poor villagers who helped out says, I don't really have any money, but I'm not poor. Because it's an attitude of mind of sharing. And it's often in our culture in America today, often poor people are more generous than rich people. This will show up statistically. They'll see the need of the poor people around them and share and connect. Well, often the rich people often aren't connected. They're living in their bubble of wealth, their, you know, large house, the fact that they don't need help from others, and that they don't help others because they're just not connected. And the desire mind never has enough. Why you can be successful. I was even reading about somebody who suddenly had all this success and he suddenly felt connected to these other celebrities who got success out of the blue when they're very young and how they had to deal with it because they realize it doesn't make them happy. You know, it creates all these difficulties and problems. You know, just like I remember one actor who was successful said he's grateful. you know, it's not like you plan it this way, but it really was good that he didn't get successful till he was 35. Helped him that he was a bit more grounded rather than just getting what you want. But what, no matter what it is, recognition from others, money, stuff, it's the nature of desire that we always want more or something else. Well, the nature of giving helps us free us from that and gives us joy in that we can help others. Just like we've all have actually at times gotten a lot of joy of being able to help others or give to others when it was a real need. And there's something much more satisfying than that, than most other things we can do in life. And the quality of generosity cuts through this desire mind. It comes from a place of openness, from a heart that's at ease with that it has enough. And we can focus on that and realize when we're put more, it's not like there's a way to transform ourselves from being self-absorbed to being generous and selfless, but you can actually realize that's a key and that we should actually bring more and more attention to it. More and more ways that we can cultivate it. Because you cultivate it just like in training, you're supposed to be cultivating like this mindfulness and meditation. You also cultivate the mindfulness of how am I being with others? And how can I help others, be generous with others? How can I give rather than just thinking I need? Instead of seeing what I'm lacking, seeing what I can offer. And helps us from not having that desire mind. And all you have to do is see one of the ways we really suffer is being jealous and envious. I can think of how uncomfortable it makes me. Just like I was actually looking something up and I saw something about another monk I knew. And suddenly I felt jealous. Like, oh, I would like that. And I realized, oh, God, Kinray. That's silliness, and it's not like probably this even, you know, matters, and it won't make me happy if I have it, and why am I thinking this way? But the mind, the self comes up and kind of thinks, I want that. And it's satisfying to feel there's enough, that I have enough in a deeper sense, and take joy and delight in that I can give, and I don't have to always look at this mind that feels like there's something lacking in what I have. Because it works in the spiritual realm. It's not just generosity in the, you can always be looking at your practice thinking, I want more. I should be stiller, more tranquil, more peaceful, more whatever, more content. You know, I'll give a talk on contentment and people will just feel like I'm not content. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have enough of this. It's useful to kind of focus on. And just to focus on the fruit of training, like how do I get more peace, actually creates frustration and misery because it's the desire mind. Rather than trusting it's good to be here, it's good to kind of be grateful for what you have. That's the generous mind, not looking outside or thinking there's something wrong here. Because the desire mind is always looking, I need more wisdom, more of this, so I can finally get rid of my defilements and be free. Rather than looking like, actually, the way we do this is by actually trusting that there isn't a problem here right now. As long as we're solving a problem, we're actually like a cat chasing its tail. It's not getting anywhere. The real solution isn't getting rid of the problem. Like the real solution of being content and peaceful is by trying to let go of all the things that are in the way and trusting there's not a problem where you are, not a problem with you, nothing lacking. I have a quote here from Ajahn Chah where he says, the mind and heart of desire is like a mouth that never closes. You know, Chris said, how do you get rid of this mind of desire and all the rest. I have to remember I'm on Zoom. You kind of accept our defilements, our problems. Okay, I'm jealous right now. I feel like there's something going wrong here. And you give yourself the right teaching. You give yourself the Dharma by telling yourself what is the right teaching for this envious mind. Like, okay, even if I have this, so what? Look around. People, you know, lots of people who have whatever you're jealous for. Does it even work for them? Like, I could be jealous of somebody who's, and I find out they're not even doing well, just like I've been jealous of people who I then later realize jealous of their practice because they seem to be doing better than me. And then I realize actually they weren't, you know, they're not even, I'm not even aware of their suffering. So you have to give yourself the right teaching and then just accept that it's, this is what training is about. How do I deal with, how do I convert and transform the thing by just, and part of it is just accepting, not making a problem. And actually a good teaching I find is reminding yourself it's okay to be here with this problem, to be bothered by this, not to want this. That's fine. This is normal. This will keep happening as long as I live. I'm not going to get rid of all this stuff. It's not like I can, I'm going to be in a realm in which I'm never envious of anyone. Or I never think, I want that. Or I don't want this. But on the other hand, you can learn, you know, just like in the last few days, I've spoken to a couple people in our Sangha who are probably dying. And just both of them are just grateful and doing well. And it's kind of nice for people to realize, okay, it's whatever, it's okay, whatever's going on. And I have to just let go and accept my body falling apart and realize and let go a lot of these desires and realize it'll be what it'll be. And it's not a problem falling apart. But there's no easy way to change. You know, the nature of training is that these things keep coming up. And in a way, each of them need the teaching and actually need that generosity of spirit that allows us to embrace the parts of ourselves we don't like. Like, I don't want this desire. I don't want to be this way. Tough. You're stuck with this teacher called you. And there's parts of it you don't like. And there's parts of everybody you don't like. We're all teaching us with this difficult self. And we have to, part of it is just have acceptance for it and realize, okay, it's okay to deal with this. There's not a problem that I'm have a foolish desire or even a wise desire. I guess there's wise desires. Like a wise, I guess a wise desire is, you know, oh, I want to do better in my practice. That's perfectly reasonable. But you have to accept whatever it is. Just like in a meditation period, it's not helpful to say, I want to be more peaceful. All you can do is let go of what's there and accept that it's fine. That in a way, training is dealing with the non-peaceful mind and saying, I want to get rid of the non-peaceful mind. No, you have to be willing to put up with the non-peaceful mind and keep letting go of it. And in a way, it's like dealing with each little piece of karma. We want the big picture. I want to get rid of my greed. No, you have to deal with each little greed, each aspect of envy, each aspect of jealousy, you know, when they come up, because they're not a whole. They're just little, wow, I don't like this. And kind of deal with the fact that it's okay not to like it, but how do I embrace the self that doesn't want to accept what I don't like? And have kindness for the fact that it's okay. Look around. The world's full of people with this problem. In fact, everybody in a way has, you know, it's like, if I'm selfish, okay, who's this being who's never selfish? You can think, well, if I'm enlightened, I wouldn't be so. I guarantee you, everyone has selfishness come up. Of course, it's the nature of karma. There isn't a realm where it doesn't, it's just, training means you deal better and better with it and see through it better, but it doesn't mean it never comes up. I can be generous automatically in certain situations, and other times I'm pulling Kinray along kicking and screaming. Who doesn't want to be generous? I don't want to deal with this. I don't want this. It's generous just to forgive people. Just forgiveness is a way of being generous. Because opening our heart to forgiveness, kindness, and acceptance is what will free us. And we do it by focusing, seeing, okay, I'm not being this way. And how do I point myself in that direction? You know, when I'm not being generous, that's normal. How can I point myself in the right way and be more generous, not this epitome of generosity, just more generous? Just like I'm not trying to get rid of all my greed in the sense I don't even know what that would mean. I'm just trying to be less greedy, less selfish. And that's something I can work, you know, that's something we can all do. Be a little less of it. And a joy enters in our heart when we cultivate this, because there's something pleasant about being this way. Well, the mind that's often thinking in these selfish terms is often just feeling like it's always lacking. And you can see when you feel this lack in your life, what's going on? What do you need to do? Because it's a miserable state of life. And in a way, generosity has two sides to it. We give to help others, but we also give to help ourselves. It's like I remember hearing the Dalai Lama kind of said that if you want to do the most activity that is in a way, in a selfish way that will help you the most, be generous, give. That will help you more than something else. And I'm not trying to be generous in a mindless way, like I need this stuff. I'm going to go hungry to feed someone else. Or I need this money and I'm, you know, you're giving away in an irresponsible way. And I've had people, I remember somebody who was almost homeless coming up and is trying to give me his car. And I kind of, I mean, he wasn't mentally 100% together, you know, wasn't completely off, but wasn't together. And I kind of go, I think you need your car more than I need your car. Because it didn't make sense, but it came out of a good place. He was being sincere. It's just, actually, you're barely getting by. Keep your car. Even though he was amazing at getting around on a bicycle. This person actually bicycled down here from Napa once and showed up at 10 o'clock at night and then was going to go back home. And I said, I think he'll spend the night at the temple. And generosity can come out of that feeling like of abundance, that there's a lot that we can give. And that's actually very liberating to feel like, instead of a sense of lack, a sense of feeling, there's something boundless within us that we can act from rather than thinking, wow, I need, which has a great closing of our heart. That heart that's not generous is closed. And it doesn't mean we have to act upon it. You can be generous by yourself in the middle of a hut, in the middle of nowhere, because it's how you view everything, not how you actually behave. It's actually not thinking in terms of the lack and what I need. On the other hand, it's functional to think in terms of what I need. And I don't spend a lot of time thinking, what do I need? Actually keeping a perspective on it so you're not getting so caught up in it. Points you to something deeper.